Good afternoon and welcome to Friday's edition of Racing Postcast, the preview show. We're set for another cracking Saturday of racing action as we head back to the Rolling Mile, where it's the second day of the Dubai Future Champions Festival, featuring the Group 1 Darley Dewhurst Stakes and one of our favourite handicaps of the season, the Together for Racing International Cesarix Handicap. We'll also be turning our attention to York, where there's three ITV televised races, including the Coral Sprint Trophy, where the likes of Gulliver, who's won the last two runnings, will be turning up and trying to make it third time lucky too. We'll also be covering a little bit of Chepstow as the jump season for all you jumps fans begins to slowly simmer under the surface. And we got the Silver Trophy Handicap Hurdle there, which looks fiercely competitive as ever. It's been won by the likes of Don't Push It in the past, so we're looking forward to getting stuck into that. And we'll see what our guests think about the car there too. So I'm joined this week by our betting editor, Keith Melrose, who's been on great form as of late. And we're also joined by our Irish guru, our Irish talisman, whatever you want to call him, David Jennings. How you doing, guys? You well?
Very good, Kyle. How are you?
Yeah, really good, really good. Obviously looking forward to...
How are the nerves? First, your debut performance presenting. How are the nerves?
Yeah, the nerves are there. It's definitely a bit trickier than I imagine, but once we sort of get into it, I'm sure it'll be absolutely fine. So,
just a pity. It's a pity you've been stuck with two amateurs. That's the problem.
And how are you doing, Keith? Obviously been in pretty good form lately.
Well, it'll be the last week or two, Kyle. I had a very good time of it with the Western meeting here, but since then it's been a little drier. I mean, this is a funny time of year for me because I'm still doing a lot of flat stuff. I mean, the Cesarix, which I've done the ratings for that this morning, but it's also this week I've started doing the chases again. So for the next month or so, I watch a lot of races. To be honest, I don't do all that much betting in October because I'm still getting my head around a lot of the form over fences. So it is a time of year where you need a bit of discipline and a bit of patience. And I've got a bit of practice at that over the last 2 weeks, given how my tips tended to go at Longchamp, to be quite honest with you.
That's it. And obviously, you know, the ground, the soft ground sort of coming in and all these different guys sort of starting out over jumps. It's going to be it's always a tricky time of year. As always, guys, do shop around. We've got our big handicaps. We've got obviously the Cesarix. We've got some fiendishly difficult races, you know, or other sort of venues we're racing at. We're also racing at, you know, across the RSC, David, at Limerick and Fairy House. And we've obviously got Chelmsford taking us into the evening tomorrow too. And don't forget Hexham as well on the borders up there. So we will jump straight into the big, you know, the big race of the day, the Group 1, which usually throws up some good stars. We had a wonderful renewal 12 months ago, which saw St Mark's Basilica, who's recently retired, do the business under Frankie. This time around, there's more of a smaller and select field, but we could very well have a star in there. And we'll look at the betting now. So we got obviously Native Trail was so impressive in the National Stakes last time out at 11-8 on. Bayside Boy, who burst the bubble of Reach for the Moon last time, he's in at 9-2. Straight Answer, the supplemented for this race, 5-1. Glunthorne, 12-1. Dubai Legend, 16-1. Berkshire Shadow, 20s. Darbab, 33s, along with Go Bears Go. I'll come to you, Keith, first of all. You and the guys gave Native Trail an RPR of 1.22 for his win in the National Stakes. And that's the same RPR that Pinatubo ran to win this race 2 years ago. Will he have to run to that sort of RPR tomorrow to win this renewal?
You wouldn't have thought so, to be honest, Kyle. You sort of have taken one off my toes there, because that was one of the things I was going to point out about Native Trail, is that, you know, he's not got the hype behind him that Pinatubo had, that Too Darn Hot had, that horses like Churchill and Air Force Blue had, but he'd beaten a couple of them at least on what he's shown already. And he's got £10 in hand on RPRs. The horses he's got up against him here, they've got a lot of potential behind them, but they've not shown anything like the credentials he has. The win last time at the cut-off, where he absolutely blew away Point Lonsdale with Ebro River in third, who travelled better, but you'd expect that because I think he's a sprinter. It was a top performance. It deserved to get the sort of plaudits it has. It deserves to be the champion juvenile performance. And yes, we're looking at horses like Bayside Boy, Straight Answer, and Glenthorne. They've not had anything like the opportunities that Native Trail has, but they have to find so much improvement. And if Native Trail makes the improvement that the average Dewhurst winner makes, so I had a quick look back, and the Dewhurst winner had improved an average of like 3.6 pounds under previous best over the last 10 years. If he does that, he'll run to nearly the same figure as Franco did when winning this race. He's got an awful lot going for him. And yeah, I think 8 to 11 is perfectly fair. My view on this is quite a boring one. We've got exciting horses here. I don't know if Straight Answer will last out over seven at the Rolly Mile, but he's a really quick horse and a really interesting one. Glenthorne, would he be as popular if what had happened in the Cheveley Park hadn't happened? I don't know. I think people are maybe seeing a little bit, people see patterns, don't they? Same with Straight Answer and Siskin, I suppose, although Siskin never ran over seven as a juvenile. You've got horses here that people are maybe seeing predecessors from the yard and getting excited about it. But really, Native Trail just deserves to be this sort of price and should really win. Hopefully, we see a tremendous performance. We've got Go Bears Go and Straight Answer who might make the running. And if they get them strung out and Native Trail bursts through to win like he did at the Curragh, we could have a real star juvenile.
And what do you make of Bayside Boy? Obviously, close form lines with Masekela and with Native Trail too. It was a bit sort of underestimated last time, I thought. I know Graham Rodway is quite keen on Bayside Boy to sort of cause a bit of an upset tomorrow. What do you sort of make of him as a sort of force?
Well, obviously, the Reach of the Moon came into that race at Doncaster, the Champagne Stakes, like he couldn't be beaten. And he had looked very impressive prior to that. But Bayside Boy, he only had run twice, and that form of Masekela looks quite good now. And I think Masekela is going to come up a little bit later too, because he ran in the Royal Lodge last time. But look what's sort of behind that race. Twilight Jet finished quite close up. I don't think that's a horse for this sort of try. Maybe just struggle to see it out a little bit. I'm not, the form is funny to make out because it was only a four runner race, and when I said these horses have a lot of potential, I was sort of half ducking the issue a little bit, to be quite honest with you. I don't know how good Bayside Boy could be. All I know is that Doncaster form isn't anything like as solid as the National Stakes win that Native Trail has, and that's before you allow for the £10 difference on how they've been assessed. So yes, he's got a lot of potential, but you're paying for it, I think, at the prices.
Yeah, he sort of seems to me like a horse that only just sort of does enough, so we'll see how he sort of gets on. And DJ, the two Irish challengers, obviously Straight Answer has been supplemented, and I thought that Glenthorne, I don't know how you pronounce it exactly, I thought that had an interest. Obviously, it's been on for a while, and I thought that was quite an interesting horse, given it beat Castle Star, who's advertised the form quite well since.
Yeah, they're both interesting, Kyle. They're both not good enough, though. I think that's the long and the short of it. Glenthane hasn't been seen since April, and as Keith said earlier, like, just a very, very similar profile to Tenebrism. So I think that's the reason he's the price he is, and the fact that he's 1-1 and trained by Aidan O'Brien. But I would be strongly of the opinion that Native Trail should be much shorter in the market here. Like, there's still some 5-6, 4-5 available. To me, he's a 1-2 shot. Like, to put it in perspective, Too Darn Hot, when he won this race, was rated 116. Native Trail is already rated £6 better than him. And just the performance in the National Stakes, to me, was exactly what you want from a juvenile. He's not the finished article. He traded, I think, 8.4 and running on Betfair. So there was a moment two out when he looked like he was going to struggle to get to Ebro River and Point Lonsdale. And not only did he get to them, he absolutely annihilated them. All his form is working out. Like, he beat the Royal Lodge winner, Royal Patronage, by four lengths at Sandown on his debut when he was sent off 8-11. I think the fact that he's not shorter than he is probably down to the fact that he's still a bit of a boyo. And, you hear Charlie Appleby, I interviewed him after the National Stakes, and he was like, God, you wouldn't have believed that performance if you seen him working there last week, he said. Like, he's a funny horse, like, and he's quirky. I think the fact that he is quirky is probably putting people off really getting stuck into him. But he's 3 from 3. He's an outstanding juvenile. He's by far the best two-year-old this season, and I'd expect him to win by a wide margin here. I don't think the rest of them are really that good. I know we don't know for sure how good they are. I still have a little bit of faith in that Dabab, who, for one reason or another, I don't think has just shown what he's really made of. And if you go back to that Superlative Stakes when Native Trail beat him, he traded very, very short and running that day under Frankie Dettori. So I think Dabab will run well, but I'm just hoping, and I think Native Trail win easily, Kyle.
It's interesting what you said there, DJ, about Native Trail and why he's... I was racking my brains when I wrote the analysis for this race. Why has he not been latched onto the same way that those horses were, those Pinatubos, those two darn horses? I just couldn't put my finger on it. Do you think it's because he shows a little bit of a bit of side?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's just not your professional finished article. And I think everybody around him are all kind of, after the National Stakes, it was kind of, oh, God, geez, we've done a really good job with this horse, like, to get him to produce that performance. I'd say he's just not entirely straightforward and has a little few quirks that they're still trying to get to the bottom of him and still trying to work him out. And I'd say that's potentially why he could be a bigger price than he should be. But, like, Newmarket, 7 furlongs, a little bit more cut in the ground. Like, I think he could destroy these.
Oh, yeah, exactly. He's got the profile of horse that'll do it really well, isn't he? And it's another thing, and thinking about it now, those other really hyped 2-year-olds, a lot of them were 2-year-olds to a large extent. Whereas this one, he's not, is he? I mean, his dam, she got better as she got a bit older. I think her best run was in the Morris de Guest. And obviously Oasis Dream. He's not a stamina influence particularly, but you know, he does look a big horse. I mean, you saw him at the cutter. Is he a big horse?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's powerful and he's even looking at him, you just say to yourself, like, he's unfurnished and he's just, it's kind of, I'd say it's his raw ability that's got him 3 from 3. I still think there's loads more to come, and I just really hope he wins because we really need an outstanding juvenile this season, and I think he's the only one potentially that it could be.
Absolutely, no, we do. And you know, as you guys were saying, he was best at the finish, wasn't he? So the ground wise, he hasn't encountered anything too soft, and pedigree I wasn't too sure, but his action looks like he's probably will be all right on it. I mean, what do you think about that, guys?
Oh, I think he'll love it. Yeah, I think he'll love it. No worries on that front from my point of view. I don't know about you, Keith.
Yeah, same here. I mean, you know me, DJ. I don't tend to worry about ground in a lot of cases, and this is another one. You know, it's easy side. He's a big horse that probably find it coming easier to him than most.
Great stuff. So unanimous verdict there for Native Trail. Remember, do shop around for that value if it's still out there. Moving on to the first ITV televised race tomorrow. That is the 145, the Godolphin Flying Start Zetland Stakes. This race has been won by some good ones in the past. I believe twice over won it. Dual champion stakes hero a few years ago now, guys. And obviously more recently, Kew Gardens, who went on to win the St. Ledger. So this has got interesting sort of shape to the race. Again, another Godolphin horse sort of heads the market at 13-8, half fit, who was beaten favourite last time out. We've got the Ballydoyle Charge Bluegrass, who won his maiden last time out at 7-2. 7-2 Goldspur, who won in debut at Sandown. And then we've got some Royal Lodge form from Unconquerable, who finished third for Donica. And Frankie's got the leg up tomorrow. 10-1 Berkshire Rebel, 20s Duke Box, 40s Foden, and the two outsiders, Knight Rider 66s and Four Shades of Silver at 200s. For me, probably not the hottest renewal of this, guys. I quite like the way Goldspur won on debut on quite deep ground. Keith, I'll come to you first. How do you sort of see this race sort of shaping up?
Well, yeah, we talked about the previous winners and the profile they sort of have. The other ones, you mentioned Kew Gardens, Coronets there, who ended up as a mile and a half horse. Hartnell, who ended up winning some good middle distance and further races down in Australia. So it is a race where you want a horse that stays very well. The Royal Lodge form, as we sort of hinted at earlier, is going to come up again. And I just thought the bet in this race was possibly Unconquerable, who was third in the Royal Lodge at quite a big price. But you watch the replay back and there's no reason why Masakila should have beaten that day particularly. But Unconquerable just looked he's a big, almost raw horse. He strides very slow. It really does look like a horse that's going to thrive over trips next season. And you know, he's going up to a mile two now after shaping really well or running really well in the Royal Lodge over a mile last time. I just thought there was a lot to like about this horse, and that Royal Lodge run, you know, is a higher grade than this, and it puts him quite comfortably clear on the ratings. The trip's going to benefit him. He got a little bit unbalanced going into the dip last time, which I'm not surprised at given the size of him. But now he's drawn on one. If they do come up the far rail, he'll probably be in a little bit of a a position where hanging at the dip isn't really an option, to be honest. But yeah, I just thought this horse had a lot going for him. He's promises to improve, already setting a decent standard. I thought that was 9-2 was big. I thought he should have been right on the shoulders of the favourites for this.
Absolutely, and obviously brings that sort of strongest form into the lineup for sure. I mean, the favourite Hafit obviously cost a pretty penny. DJ, what do you make of him? And probably also want to get your view on Bluegrass. One, I saw the VT back one quite well, Madle, at the Curragh back in August. What do you make of those top two at the top of the betting so far?
I think Hatif is slow, very slow, and probably too slow even to win as Zetland, which is hard to believe. Wouldn't be mad about him at all now. I think he's a favourite to take on. I do like Bluegrass, and I actually loved his run first time out at the Curragh in a maiden that's worked out well. Cowboy Justice won it. Swan Bay was second. Swan Bay has since been impressive. And even this form tied in with stuff in behind, the likes of Jack Rose, Freddie Lynams, who's ran well since. So I think that debut run I thought was really, really eye-catching. I was working in the Curragh that day, and I just thought he was the real eye-catcher on the day. He took a step forward last time at the Curragh when obviously he's all about stamina. Now, the funny thing about Bluegrass is he's a Galileo colt, but his dam is Quiet Reflection. So we all know Quiet Reflection was a star sprinter. And I just think with Bluegrass, he just looks like the further he goes, the better he's going to be. Now, you could say the form was let down by Good Heavens, who was beaten in the maiden a fortnight ago at the Curragh. But I thought he was well on top of the line that day. He's just a grinder who's going to keep grinding. On RPRs, he's a bit defined. He only posted an RPR of 87 that day. But I just looked through Aidan's past winners at a race, the likes of Kew Gardens, Norway. Like, I think he's in a similar type of mold to them, in that this could be the day when we see the best of him. And I think probably he deserves to be closer to favourite than he is. And I know you're taking a lot on trust, but I think he's a good horse. I can see Keith's point with Unconquerable. I think he's a rock solid 100 performer that'll run to that level. But I think Bluegrass just might be able to run to somewhere between 105 and 110. I think that might be good enough. So Bluegrass for me, Kyle.
Good start. Bluegrass for you, DJ, and Unconquerable for Keith. So we'll see if it does go across the Irish Sea tomorrow. So moving on to the next race, 2:20 at Newmarket Live on ITV. Main channel. Let's just say that it's main channel tomorrow. We've got another Godolphin horse at the top of the betting for this. And again, this is a race that's been won by the likes of Gaiaf a good a few years ago. Persian Kings there, Kingston Hill, another Ledger winner. So a pretty good roll of honour here too. And heading the betting, as I've said, is Coroebus, who, as I'm sure plenty of you watching Newmarket a few weeks ago, were heart and mouth stuff when he looked like he was going to absolutely hack up and then got collared late by Royal Patronage. Another good little shape to this race, gents. I suppose we have to start, Keith, with Coroebus and what we sort of make of him. And is after that quirky performance last time, is it worth taking him on again?
Well, yeah, I think that ultimately I'm quite happy to do that when he's 4-5. He does have quite an edge on form just on that basis. Just whether he got reeled in or not, whether it was his own fault or not, that performance still puts him quite a way clear. On figures, and justifiably so. So yeah, I'm not gonna lay him all day, but 4-5 takes out an awful chunk of the market for a horse that evidently isn't gonna, he's evidently not the most straightforward. It wouldn't be, not everybody would be shocked if he did something a little bit zany again. So there's room behind him is the thing. Rather than saying, "Oh, I'm desperate to get him beat at 4-5," there is certainly a lot of room behind him. And yeah, it's not a sort of horse I'd be placeling or anything, but you could have a win bet against him.
And sort of looking beyond him, we got Imperial Fighter that was obviously a good second by Royal Patronage at York and Yeacombe. Dubai Poet won his maiden quite well at Newbury. And then we've obviously got a couple of well, there's three Ballydoyle challenges, starting obviously with Ryan Moores on United Nations. What do you make of the Ballydoyle contingent, DJ?
No, this is going to be short and sweet for me. Coroebus wins this. I think, like, you just have to look at the sectionals from his run in the Royal Lodge. From 4 out to 3 out, 11.5, then 11.55, then 11.45. and then 13.16. So he obviously just didn't channel his ability in the right way. And what's the phrase? I don't know if you can actually say it on air, so I won't. But he went too soon. It was still a very, very good performance, even allowing for that. And to me, he's just head and shoulders above these. Like, he's already got a mark of 111. That's far superior to anything else here. So we'll make up a bit of time, Kyle. It's Karibas for me.
Good stuff. As you say, straight on to the next one, which is the Cesarovic. We've got a big field for this. I think we've got the full contingent, I think 34 in there. So again, Mullin's going for a record sort of three in a row. So we'll go to you, Keith. Any sort of fancies, especially bigger prices for this big one?
Yeah, I'm going to mention sort of three here. I mean, I'll talk about all this and DJ will come on and tell me which.
Don't steal mine.
You're going to be putting up one of Mullins. Mullins is six, so you're safe, aren't you?
Oh yeah, I'm safe. Fire away.
I knew you were going to do
one,
this.
Well, that, but it's not the one you think. It's the one I think that could be a plunge on. It's not the one you think.
Is the one, I'll tell you right now, the one I think there'll be a plunge on. I think the plunge is going to come on this Foveros.
No.
Okay, that's fine. But anyway, if I was betting a Mullins horse, it'd probably be that one. But it's not the one at the top of the betting. I think's got, and this is getting backed already. He was 9-1 this morning. He's already into 8-1. Colin the Wind's got a great chance on form. He's already won over 2.5 miles this year at Goodwood, and then last time he was unlucky not to win over 1.5 miles at Newbury. I remember when Imperial Prince, who's a stablemate of this horse, won at the Western meeting, the Scottish the Ergo Cup meeting. I thought, he'd be in the Cesarovic, won't he? Everything that stays 2 miles gets an entry in the Cesarovic, but he wasn't. And I thought it was strange at the time, but now I know. The Hughes horse in this race was going to be Calling the Wind. It was always going to be Calling the Wind. And I think he's got an absolutely cracking chance. If he was drawn a little bit nearer the rail than 27, he's got 20. I know people talk about the draw and maybe we make too much of it sometimes, but when you've got 26 horses between you and the rail, you know, you're entitled to be a bit worried. But apart from that, I think he'd be rightfully favourite for this race, actually. But in terms of, you've got a lot of, certainly in the slightly more distant history, you've got some big price winners in a Cesaro, which there's 34 winners, so there's going to be a lot of good horses that are priced up at 40, 50 to 1 plus. The one I would mention, and I think the reason he's not been popular is because he gets a penalty for dead heating. It's Spanish Kiss, who a horse I thought was going to do really well earlier in the season, looked like a horse really going places when he won at Newmarket in June there. Hit the skids a little bit after that and then dead heat at Newcastle. But the horse he dead heated with got a miles better ride. And also, I think Callum Shepherd, this horse is a little bit funny, and Callum Shepherd wanted to get him there as late as possible. Maybe that's why he dead heated. And in fact, to be honest, he sort of won it. It was a dead heat because other horses' head was down and his was up, notation. The third in that race won next time at Haydock. I think I've got any problem with this horse being good enough to compete in good handicaps of 94. And I think good handicaps is the thing, because this horse probably wants a bigger field where he can weave through and just be kept interested and get presented late in the day. He's 66-1 in places, which I think is absolutely ludicrous. I looked at his form last night and expected to look up and see a price half that. So Spanish Kiss is the one for me at 66-1 if you're looking for a big yahoo. But certainly in terms of the market principles, I'd have gone for Calling the Wind.
Great stuff. Yeah, well, we've seen big price winners this race, you know, in years gone by, haven't we? So it's definitely worth having a few pokes at bigger prices. So DJ, what ones do you like? Shorter and bigger prices?
They're both, I'm going to put up two, and they're both big prices, 28-1 and 33-1.
Lovely.
The one that I think has been completely misunderstood in the market is Micromanage. How this horse is 28-1 with Bet365 is absolutely baffling, if you ask me. Colin Keane rides. Colin Keane rode when he won at Galway back in August. Now, that performance mightn't look like it has a great deal of substance, but there actually was. Mona's Melody was second. And Mona's Melody has had a pretty good season. Like, she's no back number. And, you know, she ran reasonably well on Irish Champions weekend. And I thought Micromanage won that very, very easily. It was his first run back from a break. He ran in an ace maiden hurdle in February. Like, he had two middling runs over hurdles. I think they thought he was going to be a really good hurdler, and it just hasn't happened. He's had problems. But the thing about Micromanage is he's only five. On what was only his fifth start, he started a single figure price for the Irish St. Ledger. Like, that's something else. So it is. Now, he only beat one horse home that day. The race was won by Search for a Song. But, like, you know, the likes of Fujera Prince was in there, Twilight Payment, Sovereign, who obviously was a Derby winner. But I just think with Micromanage, I definitely don't think we've seen the absolute best of him. He's a horse that exploded onto the scene when he won a handicap at the Curragh by 12 lengths under Dunnock O'Brien. He went from a mark of 91 to 107. Then we didn't see him for 434 days. He ran quite well in the Group 3 at the Curragh, and then he went to the Irish and Ledger. Then he had two runs in maiden hurdles, and obviously he had a prep for this, I'd imagine. When he won at Galway, a conditions race, when he beat Mona's Melody, his mark has been left unchanged on 104. And I just got thinking when I seen all the Mullins entries during the week, I just said, ability wise, I wonder of all his entries, which of these horses got the most ability? And I'd have no doubt that it is Micromanage who has the most ability and has the potential to be a Group 1 horse. Now, it's a big statement, but I still think he does. Like, MC Muldoon is rated 100, so he's only rated £4 higher than MC Muldoon. I think probably reputation-wise in Cloyne Sutton, I think Micromanage would have a much bigger reputation. He's obviously had problems, but that win at Galway, Colin Keane booked, I think there's an awful lot to like about Micromanage, and he's got that kind of sexy profile that he could be a good bit better than he is, and 28-1. If he goes off 28-1, I'd be absolutely staggered, so I will. The other one that I think is too big of a price is Takarengo, for Willie's brother Tom. Takarengo was third in this race last year to Great White Shark, but he actually hit the front, so he did. He hit the front and looked the most likely winner, I thought, a furlong out under John Egan. It was a really good run. He was 50-1 that day. He didn't come into the race in great form, and he comes into the race this year, and he won a Clamel in September, and it was a little disappointing last time at the Curragh. But he's run off a mark of 88. He's £7 higher than last year. But just last year, if John Egan just left a little bit later, I thought he would have been hard to catch last year. He's 33-1. On that run last year, I think he's got a cracking chance. But 28-1 Micromanage, I think, is a huge price.
Let's see if Colin Keane comes there in the last couple of furlongs going well. We'll see. But obviously, last year's win a Great White Sharks in there again, £10 higher. So he's mob-handed for his third in the row. Remember, guys, do shop around. They're paying 8 places with Sky Bet. We've got 7 places with Paddy Power, William Hill, 888 Sport, Betfair. So make sure you do shop around, because the last thing you want is your horse to get beaten by a nose and just finish outside the placings.
The jump season is nearly here. And pick up your copy of the Racing Post's brand new pullout, The Big Jump Off, which signals the start of the 2021-22 National Hunt season. Free in the Racing Post on Monday, October 18th. It's got 72 pages of unbeatable content, including anti-post tips, great columnists, divisional analysis, and much more. That's The Big Jump Off in the Racing Post on Monday, October 18th.
Moving on swiftly to York, we've got three. We're looking at three races there. The first one we're going to look at is the 205, the Coral beaten by a length free bet Rockingham Stakes, the listed race. I'll come to you, Keith. This looks fiendishly difficult. I quite like Gisburn. Didn't run too well in the Coventry, but I liked it previously. What are your thoughts on cracking this puzzle?
I'm not going to be honest, Kyle. This isn't a particularly strong race for me betting wise. I'm likely to give, because it's York, I'm likely to give one more chance to Hello My Darling, who is third in a nursery here at the Ebor meeting. Pretty strong form that, actually, only beaten 3/4 of a length off top weight, 98. Couple of times since, I mean, she was behind Flotus the first time, which, you know, that's excusable. And then at Ayr last time wasn't the very best of runs. But York can be a funny track, and, you know, we get specialists here. We'll see a few in the big sprint, actually, in a couple of races' time. And she's another one potentially, because that form has come here. So 10-1, she gets a shot in the Last Chance Saloon. It's not a race that I've got a massively strong view on.
Yeah, what are your thoughts, DJ, on this one?
I'm with you, Kyle. Bad news for you. I think they've just been waiting and being patient with Gisburn, waiting for a bit of soft ground. I think when you go back to that maiden winner at Newbury back in May, like, I thought that was visually, it was seriously impressive.
Oh,
now,
it was, wasn't
what
it?
he beat that day is up for debate, obviously, but I thought it was a real good, solid performance from a horse that deserved to take his chance in the Coventry. Just didn't work out in the Coventry. It was a funny sort of a race, and he was a little bit too keen, and I'd say he just didn't really enjoy the ground. It was very, very quick that day at Ascot, and I'd say it had been holding him back for a winter campaign. Now, maybe he's had a setback. I could be wrong, because like 116 days is a long time for a juvenile not to have ran, but it's soft ground here. I think he'd be fine on that. I love the way he glided through the ground at Newbury, and I'd like to see a bit of money for him just to make sure he's working well and everything is okay, but 15-2 Gisburn, that'll do me.
Yeah, that's a good shout. Obviously, Sean Levy in the plate is always a... It's a good thing he's gone up there. Moving on then to our next race, which is the 240, the Play Coral Racing Super Series for free handicap over a mile and a quarter. It's a Class 2 event. And heading the betting there for Sir Michael Stout and Richard Kingscote is Bay Bridge at 9-4. Faisal for Holly Doyle and John and Teddy Gosden at 7-2, Sinjari 11-2, Dark Jedi 9-1, Cockalorum 10s and 11 bar. Bay Bridge, Keith, we haven't seen since he won the London Gold Cup at Newbury, quite impressively actually, by four lengths. Is he, you know, on a workable mark, would you say, for this?
If he's, when he won the London Gold Cup like he did, you had to see Group Horse. That London Gold Cup always turns out to be a really good race. Maybe isn't the very best renewal this year, but there's still a lot of good handicappers that have finished behind him. Yeah, the main worry, and you'd want to hear what Sir Michael Stout says, but the main worry is why he's been off so long in the meantime. My view on this race was mostly that I thought one of the top two in the market would win, Bay Bridge, and if he's not fit, Faisal, who's looked similarly progressive, if not got quite that stunning bit of form Bay Bridge has, it's not the sort of bit I tend to get laced into, to be honest. You know, 5-2 and 7-2 paired, but I just thought one of those two horses would win, and I thought anybody that would try and get cute with it, it might come a cropper and go well. I maybe missed an obvious one there, because those are two extremely interesting horses.
And DJ, are you along the line, same lines as Keith on this one?
Yeah, like with Bay Bridge, it's obviously worrying. A bit like Gisburn, you're kind of worrying that he hasn't been seen for quite a while, almost identically, 147 days. But again, I just wonder, you know, was it just waiting for autumn ground, a bit of cutting the ground? Now, I know Ryan Moore was convinced that this horse does need some cutting the ground after he won the London Gold Cup. Very impressive that day. As Keith said, he just smacked of a group horse, rated 105. Now, is there much scope for improvement off that mark? There probably is still a few pound. And you know, a lot of those in or around him, like Sinjari and Dark Jedi, like they don't really win races. Like Sinjari is just... drives me mad, so he does. Like, he should have won last time. Let's call a spade a spade. He should have won, and he didn't. And sometimes you just can't forgive horses, and I'm not forgiving Sinjari for all that I'm the forgiven type. But Bay Bridge.
At least Sinjari's won his big race, DJ. Dark Jedi, God, I've put up that horse so many times. He's your play spot hero, but.
Yeah, of course he is. Yeah. And in fairness to Sinjari, like, Sinjari, like, did me a serious turn that day under Stevie Donoghue when he won the John Smith Gold Cup. So he still has. He still has a bit of love in the bank at the moment with me, but I just think Bay Bridge, he's a winner. He's an improving horse. He's a three-year-old. He likes soft ground. A mile to York, perfect. Ticks all the boxes. You just have to hope that he hasn't had any setback and that there's just been waiting for cutting the ground.
Lovely stuff. I'm with you on Sinjari. I've followed that horse ever since it was second to Headman in the London Gold Cup, funny enough. And
he should have won last time.
Yeah.
Like, he just should have won.
But he threw it away quite easily, but... good, so we're pretty much with the top ones in that one. And now we move on to the Sprint Trophy at 3:15. We've got Gulliver, one of a regular on ITV, a regular over the years, a seven-year-old now. And he's won the last two runnings of this race, and he's going for a three in a row. Adam Kirby on board. As ever, though, it's a wide-open look to it. He's eights at the top. 10-1 Magical Spirit, 10-1 Laugh a Minute for Ado McGuinness, 12-1 Comanche Falls, 12-1 Nomadic Empire, 12-1 also Mr. Wagyu and Capote's Dream, Copper Knights in at 14s with Potmaster, Just Frank, Mondamej and 16s Bar. This, you know, very wide open, gents. Can he do the free time at Gulliver? Keith, what are your thoughts?
I know the horse has peaked to win this race the last 2 years, but I mean, I'm not sure he knows what day it is, and Gulliver decides what Gulliver's going to do on any given day. He is that sort of horse. A friend of mine put it quite quite succinctly when he said, if Gulliver had put it all in, he might own a Group One. He's that sort of horse. Sort of horse, again, you'd put in your play spot, but you know, I couldn't definitely trust him to go through with it. He's that sort of horse, really. It's a really competitive race, as you say. I think it's so competitive that you get some horses that have been unduly sort of neglected in the betting, really. You know, we've got the one I would actually put up, because there's quite a lot of pace in the high stalls, which are the ones nearer the stand side. And I thought Just Frank was very interesting, about 14-1. They pulled a reel of a stroke with him in the sales race that was in Newmarket last week, but the 2020 renewal of it. He ploughed a lone furrow and bombed home and won that very, very comfortably. Tried to make him a 7 furlong horse this year. It didn't work. Brought him back to 6 at Thirsky, won on his ear. And then he ended up a bit marooned in the Air Gold Cup. Didn't really, you know, if he knew what Kevin Stott was up to and joined Bielsa, we might have had a different story there, but it just didn't go right for him in the Air Gold Cup for whatever reason. You know, you can sort of toss that run out, really. I quite like Luke Morris getting the leg up. He's drawn near other pace in the race. You know, I thought 14 was just much too big, really.
And DJ, Laugh a Minute, I thought was quite an interesting one. It was a very eye-catching run last time out. What do you make of him? And who's your sort of fancy for the race?
Well, I think Keith knows what I'm going to say about the race. If I have to spend another week talking about bloody Mondamej and Copper Knight and Comanche Falls, Lord, I spend more time talking about them than I do talking about my wife and daughter.
How can you be upset at talking about Copper Knight? Now, Mondamej is one thing. Like, you and Tom Siegel, you're quite right as well, could sit there and bitch about him all day, but... God, it's Copper Knight's a lovely horse.
Oh, no, absolutely. I completely agree. He is a lovely horse. But I think it's like, do you know when during lockdown there and you're with your missus and you love them to bits and you absolutely adore them. But when you spend 7 days in each other's ear, you're just sick of them. And that's the way I am with Copper Knight. I've seen enough of Copper Knight one season because he just reminds me of these sprint handicaps. Like, he's ran, let me think, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12... 13. This is 14th run since April, and he is a wonderful horse, and I love him to bits. But like every week, Keith, we're on here and we're talking about these sprint handicaps, and they just take it in turns, just come out of the parade ring and just go, right, come here, Mondamej, your turn today, right, don't tell anybody. That's what it seems to me. They beat each other every time.
They do.
As Kyle said, right, Laugh a Minute is interesting. He's dropped down, like, he was rated 102 in July. He's down to 92. I thought it was a very, very encouraging run in the Joe McGrath at the Curragh. And I do think he's better over 6 than he is over 5. And even, I'll tell you now, in that Bold Lad sprint handicap on Irish Champions weekend, it was the first race on St. Ledger Day at the Curragh. He was really eye-catching. I thought he ran a lovely race off 93. Ushie Murphy rode him, and he was just in between kind of two groups, and he couldn't really get a group, but I thought it was a lovely run. Of those that are kind of double figure-ish price, like, he's 10-1 bet 365. I think that's probably too big, but he doesn't win that often. And as I said, any of these can win. So I hope this is our last sprint handicap to be previewing. Although I'm sure, what's the one on Champions Day that Sharjah Bridge won a few years ago, Keith?
Oh, Champions Day, it's Balmoral.
Balmoral, yeah. Which I
That's different. I mean, there's usually a 3-year-old that some big yards found at the back of the stable that was bred to win a classic that comes out and wins that, isn't there? It's normally interesting for the following season, if nothing else, the Balmoral.
Sharjah Bridge, my greatest day in racing. Still remember very fondly.
So let's just recap who you guys are with for this one.
Oh, sorry. After that rant and rave, I am with Laugh a Minute.
Laugh a Minute. And Keith, just remind us who you were.
Yeah, it was Just Frank for me.
Just Frank. Lovely stuff. As ever, guys, especially for this race, make sure you shop around for that each way value and make sure. I see Skybet 7 places, William Hill 6 places. Yeah, just make sure you shop around and get the best value that you can.
It's become a thing this season, actually, isn't it, with the place terms? I mean, Skybet have been doing it for a long time, extra places. But this year, I mean, 6 places standard in the Cesaro Age. Yeah. And it's become a real... I mean, it is a heuristic. You can't, there's not really a formula that solves it, unfortunately, as far as we can tell. But, you know, you have to, you know, I'm looking at Spanish Kiss. I can take 66-1 6 places, or I can take 40-1 8 places. And what am I doing in that instance? It is, you all get your own rules and you all decide, and it depends on the horse a little bit as well. But I tell you what, I might write a thing about it one day, a column about it, because it's a new calculation. It's completely novel this season, DJ. I don't know if it's something that you've noticed too. It's just something that I never had to think about that much until this flat season, but now I do.
Yeah, oh, I completely agree. Yeah, I look forward to reading that column.
Maybe a while, yeah.
All right then, guys. Well, we're moving on to the last little segment of the show, really, just covering a bit of Chepstow. It's obviously their second day. They have the Persian War today, and it's the Wasdale Group Silver Trophy Handicap that features on their card. What do you guys make of the card, and specifically any fancies for the Silver Trophy? Keith first?
I've not even looked at the Silver Trophy yet because it's, you know, we're into the chase season. I'm splitting my time between flat and jumps, so I can't really look outside my main races. I haven't looked at all the chases at Chepstow, and I'm really frustrated. I want to put up a bet in the 225, the Native River Handicap Chase. There's two horses I'm interested in. And to be honest, at the prices they are now, I wouldn't put anybody off dutching them. But what I'm maybe going to do myself is I'm going to set an alarm for about 2:15 tomorrow and see where the money's coming between who the mark, because both these horses are returning after 6 months off. It's the Mighty Dawn and Courtmaster, and they're 12s and 20s respectively. One of them, but if either of them's fit, they deserve to be single figure odds, whichever one it is. And I'm going to check which way the market comes from. But the Mighty Dawn, he says he finished 5th and 9 beating 8 lengths last time. He was basically upside 2 out when he nearly fell at Cheltenham in a big race there at the April meeting, and James Davies couldn't ride him. He lost his irons and whatever, so you can throw that out. He'd actually started to get his act together. He doesn't jump that well, which is more promising than his forms at Cheltenham. If you can blunder your way around Cheltenham and still show good form, you must have a real engine. And Courtmaster, you know, he last ran in the Topham, didn't really do much in the Topham, but before that been a really steadily progressive horse, got a good record fresh actually. And tends to really thrive when the ground's not hock deep mud, and I thought 20-1 was offensive odds about him if he was fit. So I wouldn't put anybody off touching those two horses because I think one of them will run a big race. I might wait and see what the market says to which one's fit, but you know, I wish I could put one up for the listeners, but I'm going to have to wait myself.
Great stuff, DJ. Anything or? You have a little look at the card.
Yeah, I do. I absolutely adore this card. I'm really looking forward to it today as well. I think Paso, we're filming this obviously early on, but I think Paso Doble is interesting on Friday. But a couple that I like in the Silver Trophy, which is fascinating race, it really is. Look, I know he's been disappointing. I know, but I thought did they leave you out too? Who shaped really, really promising. In a couple of flat races. I just think he's off a mark now where you're going, if he travels into it and gets into a good jumping rhythm around Chepstow, long home straight, I thought off a mark of 100 and 29 with Niall Hoolahan taking off £5. I thought he could run well. He's an early horse who hasn't even gone close to fulfilling his potential, but I thought he had a chance. Another one that I like in the 225, that Native River race that Keith is on about, I like Irish Prophecy here for Emma Lavelle and Tom Bellamy. I actually thought he ran well at Warwick last time. Just wasn't knocked about, and I thought he jumped and travelled well. If you go back to the old Whitbread, what do they call it now? The Bet365 Gold Cup. Like, he ended up being pulled up there, but for a long way, I thought he ran really, really well. I thought he was a big player jumping the pond fences for the second time, and he just got tired and made a mistake. But he's down to a mark of 138 now, and it's his lowest mark for quite a while. So I thought Irish Prophecy in the 225 definitely be a double figure price. Expect them to be a 12 or 14 to 1. And just one other one. I think All Mankind is making the market in the 150. Like, we all know what All Mankind is. He's a bit of a beast when he's on form, and he's running in a hurdle off a mark of 150, which is £10 lower than his chase mark. So he could absolutely obliterate them. But I think he is going to really struggle to give £18 to Master's Legacy. Master's Legacy has not really been straightforward. Last time at Newbury, I thought he was coming to win his race. And that sounds absolutely ridiculous because he finished last of 6 and he was beaten 19 lengths by Scaramanga. But he actually traded just over 2-1 in running. I thought he was coming there to win his race. And something just didn't go right after 3 out. I don't know what went wrong, but something didn't go right. And at Taunton the time before, he travelled incredibly well as well. He went off 5-2 that day and he traded 1.8 in running. So that'll tell you how well he was going. But if you go back to his earlier form from 2020 to 2019, beating Polish, giving Polish £6 at Taunton and Novice Hurdle, that is seriously strong form. He is, on his day, a ridiculously well-handicapped animal off a mark of 132. And I think a double-figure price about him. If he's on his A-game, and a lot of Philip Hobbs' horses have been running well in the last couple of days. I think he's had 3 winners, 2 seconds, couple of thirds in the last kind of couple of days. I think Masters Legacy is a huge player in the 150.
Interesting.
It's a very much a tangent. Can we get an agreed pronunciation on Polish / Polish?
I was just going to bring that up, guys, actually. I was going to say, is it Polish or is it Polish?
I have no idea. I've got absolutely none, but I know that I'll end up flitting between the two if I don't decide. Do you have a view, DJ?
I know. I absolutely love Fergal O'Brien on Twitter. I think he's class. And I love the fact that, like, he keeps putting up tweets about the pronunciation. And I don't think anybody knows.
Right. So I didn't realise I'd gone meta with that one. Oh, yeah. I didn't realise O'Brien was giving it on Twitter about that.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
All right then, gents, this is the moment of truth. What are your weekend best bets, sat naps, that we can sort of go away and put in multiples and, you know, fill up our satchels? Keith, what are your best bets for Saturday?
I think if you're doing a multiple, you've just got some native trailing there. You might go off 4-9 in the end and then it looks a bit silly, but he's perfectly entitled to be the price he is, and I think he'll win.
DJ?
Is that your nap? Is this the naps? Are we on nap territory?
Yes, it's nap. To be honest, the other ones, the bigger price ones, there's not one that stands out a mile to me. I know I generally wouldn't put up an odds-on shot as a nap, but the rest of them are quite, you know, much of a muchness for me. Whereas that horse will just win.
Mm. Yeah, I'd agree with you. Just before I get my nap, just a couple of Fairy House that I think will win in the 155, the beginner's chase. I think Manila Escape is going to make a cracking chaser for Henry de Bromhead and Darrow Keefe. Just everything about him screams chaser. He was sent off odds on for a great three novice hurt at Navan when we last saw him. Still just about in front when falling at second last, but this horse could be anything over fences. So I think he'll win the 155. I think Glan will win the 305, the maiden hurdle, the mare's maiden hurdle. I thought she ran really well at Listowel. And just a shout out for our colleague, Brian Sheeran, who owns what is likely to be the favourite for the bumper at Fairy House, Free Nelson. And you've got to admire Brian. This horse was with Peter Fahey and obviously had problems. Ran in July of 2019. He has paid for training fees for, 2 years? Well over 2 years. Got the horse back, ran a real eye-catching race in the Stole on his first start for Gordon Elliott. And now looks like he's found a golden opportunity to win a bumper. So best of luck to Brian Sheeran with Free Nelson in the 5:22 at Fairy House. And my nap, I'm going big, Keith. Oh. I'm going for Micromanage in the Cesaro, which at 3:35 at Newmarket. I think 28-1 with Bet365. Micromanage is one of the most wrong prices I've seen all season.
A 28-1 that, what more do you want? Great stuff, guys. Let's hope some of those go in at least. And it should be, you know, a cracking day action. Plenty to sort of whet your appetite, whether you like the flat game or the jumps game. So there's a bit of everything for everyone. Remember, if you do enjoy these shows, make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening to us. We'll be back next week, Champions Day and all that. So until next time, goodbye and please gamble responsibly.